Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. Oh, do we have a special episode today? We have a legendary member of Bulls Twitter on the line with the great Keith Frantz and I. She has more followers than I do, which is a feat. She's probably more well-beloved than I am, which is also a big feat. Her opinion is probably more well-respected than mine, which is probably not a big feat since most people disagree with what I talk about. But hello, let's bring in the great Ramina, a Twitter icon. Hello. Ramina, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Living the dream. Well, I'm so excited to be talking with you. We tried to get you on before. You unfortunately had to stand us up. We totally get it. It's been a disaster trying to get you on through Skype. You had the longest name I've ever seen. It was like a physics equation. But luckily, we were able to get you on the line, and we're so excited to chat with you. And I think a lot of listeners who are big fans of yours also are really excited to hear what you have to say about the beloved Bull. And I got to say one thing before we get started. The thing I respect about you most is how, in general, positive you are, and that's a rare thing on Bulls Twitter these days. What say you?
Thank you. I try my best.
And don't you feel like the team is heading in the right direction in general? Is it? Would you say you land on the positive side of the Sea Red Force?
I mean, in the beginning, it was really hard to believe in it, but now it's just getting better and better. I'm happy for them because I think they really needed this confidence.
Amen. I mean, I must admit, you were one of the biggest supporters of Zach LaVine earlier than anyone else, and I have to hand that to you. Now, I some of your love for him might have been a little bit less on the basketball ability and more on his dreamy blue eyes or whatever they are. I did sense that, but he has really, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, oh my gosh, what a jump this kid's made.
And in the beginning of the season, he did really well too, and you know, nobody really believed he would keep up with it. And I know he had a little slump, but now he's back on it. And him and Lowry, a great duo.
Amen. Keith Frantz, Keith, are you on the line? I want to make sure.
I'm here. I'm just admiring the beloved conversation that's going on in my ear. I'm just admiring. I know I don't stay quiet very long usually, but I'm learning.
Keith, why don't you get a little bit of background about this Bulls conference line that I wasn't invited to, that you and Ramina are a part of, debating into the wee hours of the evening. Can you pull back the curtain on this a little bit for us who are...
I don't know how much we can peel back the curtain. The whole allure of this mystic chat is the fact that it is so secretive, and we really don't talk about it. It's kind of like, you know, a secret club. But it's really just a couple misfits from the darkest corners of Bulls Twitter that in a chat together, and we kind of talk about all you guys, and that's all that really goes on there.
Why am I left out?
Too special.
Surprisingly, we all get along too. So,
is there anybody else?
Yeah, unlike
anybody else on Bulls Twitter that I would be familiar with who is a part of this? Is there anyone who's regularly in contact or talking to you guys on this? Any famous?
No, Fred. But most of the people that you'd be looking for probably who are being talked about in this chat.
Okay. Regardless, okay. Let's go into the 411 on Ramina before we get started on the beloved Bull. Ramina, give us a little bit of information behind you. Pull back the curtain a little bit. You're a mysterious figure, beloved, but yes, also, you know, people don't know a lot about you. Could you share with us a little bit about Ramina and your history as a Bulls fan, et cetera, your favorite players, et cetera?
I have no idea how it all started on Twitter. I'm just going to be honest with that. No idea how it all started, but, you know, I grew up with three older brothers, and sports were a must when I was growing up. We watched it every single day, you know. Bulls were our favorites. We grew up in Chicago. My favorite, I mean, is MJ an obvious answer? Like, I was really young when he played. So is that an obvious answer to say MJ? But if I had to choose a different one, it would definitely be Joakim Noah.
Okay, so and could you give us a little bit of what is your earliest memory? What Bulls team do you remember the best? The earliest. We're trying to gauge your age without asking it straight out. I think that's...
I can just tell you, I'm 29, so I'll just tell you my age. I'm 29.
So, okay.
I mean, I was 8 for the last one, so I don't remember every little thing, you know, but I remember they won it. Everybody was outside. Everybody was celebrating. It was a really good time.
Yeah, absolutely. How in the world did you get over 4,500 Twitter followers? That's something. It took me like 10 years to get to 4,000, and I think you joined Twitter.
I have no idea. I have no idea how I got to this point, but We're here now.
Okay, good. So, but you just jumped onto it. How long have you been on Twitter?
I don't even remember when I joined, to be honest with you, but it's been a few years.
Okay.
I had one, and I got locked out of that one, so I didn't have that many followers. And then I made this one, and I've been on it ever since.
All right, so let's get into the beloved bull. And the situation at hand. So right now, with the loss today, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, this was the best I've ever felt in the Chicago Bulls loss. Keith and I were talking a little bit offline. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I really did not want him to win this game. Just, you know, primarily because I don't want to hear any more from these people. They're just continually badgering and screaming every time they win a game. And I do understand, hey, you know, Atlanta, I'm pretty happy with where we are at the four spot. I think there's a good chance that it's where we're going to end up. But I'd like to kind of toe the line between winning some games but still maintaining that four spot. What say you? How did you feel about today's loss? Romina, you go first and over Keith.
I didn't really get to watch the game, so I don't know. But I really wanted us to lose this one too. But as soon as I saw they took Trey out, I don't understand why they did that. But
he got kicked out.
I don't know. I didn't really get to watch it, but I saw all that happening.
And for everyone, for everyone who's asked, would you mind sharing with us what's your day job?
It was my niece's birthday party today, so I missed it.
I thought you were working.
And her niece is probably like one of the biggest factors to why she has 4,500 followers. So that was pretty important.
Yeah, I think they like her more than they like me, so I'm going to go with that too.
Awesome. Yeah, she is cute. How old is she?
She just turned 3.
Oh my gosh! Did they go so quickly? My daughter just is 14. I can't even believe it. It makes me so depressed. But enjoy every minute because it happens so quickly. I can't believe it. And even on Facebook, sometimes you see these pictures, you know, on this day 8 years ago, and like I literally start almost bawling, you know, for like half an hour just seeing how quickly old they get. So wow, we turned.
Yeah, time clock.
The bullseye. Well,
Romina, you're bringing
Phil.
The passionate side out of Fred that I haven't seen outside of basketball. Knowing how much he loves his Bulls, I can only imagine how much he loves his children. This is very heartwarming.
I'm glad I can do that.
This is really becoming a Dr. Phil episode. I didn't expect it to go down this road. Keith, give your thoughts.
Back on topic, I mean, I think most fans would agree that splitting this series with the Hawks and winning the quadruple overtime game and losing today in regulation, although it was at home and the Bulls have a worse home record than they do a road record this year, that keeping that four-game cushion for the last 18 games in which we only play the Knicks twice and the Suns once, and that's the extent of our tanking teams left that we play, I think we're in a good spot to be competitive but also still stay in this four slot.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. I mean, in retrospect, Keith and Romina, looking at this, I was just speaking about this with my good friend Mark from Australia on his show. If you look at the major player transactions the Bulls have made since this rebuild began, the Butler trade, the Markkanen pick, the Nico trade, Wendell Carter Jr. draft pick, LaVine restricted free agency match, the Holiday trade, the Otto Porter Jr. trade, almost unequivocally every one was met with anger by the majority in the fan base. It was frustration. People were angry. And looking back, I think all those moves were home runs. The Nico one is probably the one debatable one where, you know, Nico's a good player and, you know, Hutch is still progressing and he's injured obviously now. But how can you look back at those deals and say, out of those ones I mentioned, are any that you would say, hey, this wasn't a good move? Why don't we start with you, Romina, and then we'll go over to you, Keith.
I think it's more like we all get very attached certain players, so when these trades happen we get upset, but I don't think any of them were bad trades. I'm happy with what we have right now. Otto, I'm really happy with Otto.
Oh, fantastic. He's been awesome, and not only has Otto been great, he's been great for LaVine, he's been great for Mark, and it's clearly he's improved both of those players. He's allowed both of those players to really reach their potential or start begin that progress towards it.
I think the obvious one, Jimmy Butler, at this point in time, you could probably look at Zach LaVine's contract and Lauri Markkanen's contract situation. With Jimmy Butler going into this offseason looking at a contract, you could probably take either or Lauri or LaVine over Jimmy. The Nico trade, I don't think it's really as much to question. Nico's going to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason too. They want to give him $15 million. He requested out of here, and part of why he wanted out of here was the Bulls weren't going to give him more than the 12.5 for 2 years in the team option that they gave him, similar to what they were offering Portis. Behind Markkanen, how long would Nico have lasted here? How much would you have paid him? Chandler Hutchison will have another 3 years on his contract. So a lot of their moves, I think have been home runs, especially the Holiday and the Otto Porter Jr., even though I know you lost Jabari, and that has to still be hurting your heart.
No, we're fine.
I don't know about that. Maybe I mean, I still love Jabari. No, I'm joking. I thought Jabari was handled incorrectly here, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Well, I'd like to ask you, Romina, were you happy with the Jabari Parker signing, or did you feel that was a mistake, and were you glad to see him go?
Okay, I was really excited for the Jabari signing. He's from Chicago, so I was really excited about that, too. He was great before, but as soon as I saw him in a few more games, I was over it. And you can probably tell that I was over it. But I'm really happy with Otto. Like, I'm really glad we got him. I think the chemistry between all the players is so much better now.
No doubt he's a much better fit than Jabari was. I mean, obviously Jabari's a four, and we already have that in Lauri Markkanen. So there's no doubt he's a better fit. I thought, though, I agree. Your initial point was absolutely 100% correct. He's a Chicago kid. It was a great signing. Bringing in that offensive talent as a 23-year-old didn't work out. We moved on. And to get Otto Porter Jr. here, he was an integral part of that. So in the big picture, I know most people will say it was a mistake. I think it was the right move. But, I digress. We'll move on from there. Going forward.
Well, I don't want to digress, though, Fred. I think one point that I would like to make on top of what you said is, how can it be a bad signing if it ended up in Otto Porter Jr.? Without a contract like Jabari that was $20 million and expiring, you're probably not in a trade talk to take on Otto Porter Jr.'s big contract. So from that standpoint, the Bulls were right. And I think you were right with your accidental slip when you said Jabari Parkey, because it was about as disappointing as Parkey's double doink.
It was nowhere near that.
Let's not get into that.
How dare you? How dare you? I should end this show right now. And then the great, I brought that point up with the great one, Doug Tonis, on the Big Red Bus, which will be coming out shortly. And he countered, well, they could have done that without signing him. They could have just had the cap space and made the trade. What say you to that?
Coming this offseason?
No, he was saying that if they didn't sign Jabari Parker and just had were under the cap, that they could have just still made the trade.
They would have had to predict John Wall tearing his Achilles at home. That's the only reason Otto Porter became available. The Wizards wanted to hold on to him. You know, if they were going to be contenders, they wanted him. But they're going to be without Wall for up to 16 months, and that could be most of next season, too. So they just had to move on instead of biting the tax bullet. I mean, I guess you could have done that, but then you would have had everybody going, oh, well, why didn't they spend money on a point guard upgrade? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that?
Agreed.
When the reasoning for not doing any of that is, well, we took this calculated risk on Jabari, and we had to give him this big inflated contract to steal him from Milwaukee and get him on the 1+1.
No, I agree. Yep. In retrospect, everything worked out fine. I think the team's going to be considerably better next year. Let's go to Chris Dunn. So before we get to you, Keith, because I think I know where you're going to land, and I think you're a Dunn defender, and I am too. I'd like to get Romina's take on Chris Dunn. What do you think of Chris Dunn, Romina? Do you want to see him be the starter again next year at the point guard position, or do you feel that we should probably bring in a free agent point guard to challenge him in the offseason? Or do you even feel like, hey, I want out on the Chris Dunn experiment, let's get rid of him?
I don't think we should get rid of him, but I don't think he should be a starter. Right, I think he's better coming off the bench. I've had a lot of mixed emotions about him. So I don't know right now, but I don't think he should be a starter.
I think, as we've learned throughout the season, Zach LaVine has emerged and Chris Dunn has kind of been asked to play an Archie Diacono role as a third, fourth option on this team, and maybe even a fifth option when Wendell Carter Jr. gets back. That's just not the kind of player Chris Dunn is. He's probably an equal scorer and passer, so asking him to be all passer and not really a scorer just really doesn't fall into his skill set. I shared an example of Spencer Dinwiddie last year, started 52 out of 80 games. He shot under 40% from the field, was a 33% three-point shooter. And it seems that him and D'Angelo Russell just could not coexist, similar to Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine this year. Dinwiddie has been the sixth man for their team with the second unit, and he's up to 17 points per game. He's shooting better all around from the field, and he's just been able to be himself.
Romina, what do you think about, let's go to Zach LaVine, who to me has just impressed the heck out of me with his play this month of February. I can't get over how well he's played. I think it's a little bit understated how well he's been playing because Lowry's emergence is, there's been a lot of focus on that, and probably rightly so. He's played so well. But Zach LaVine has just been awesome too, and I don't think it's getting near the pub, and Darnell Mayberry kind of noted that also today. First of all, what was it about Zach LaVine that really caught your eye that you clearly have been one of his bigger backers on Bulls Twitter? And what has impressed you the most with his run in the past month?
I kind of grew feeling about him, and then his games, he started off doing so well. Like, and then again, he had that slump, so I kind of got worried. And then I know he got injured, but he came back and he's doing amazing. And I don't know what more people want from him. Maybe he can be a little bit better on the defensive end, but I don't know what more people can want from him. I think he's doing incredible, and I hope he continues to.
Keith, what say you?
I think his playmaking has been the most impressive as of late. He was, I believe, the first Bulls player since Rose in the 2011 playoffs to have four consecutive games of 25-plus points and 5-plus assists. I wouldn't be surprised to see him be, you know, the on-ball guard most of the game going into next season unless they get a high-end free agent or, you know, a good pick in this draft that's ready to go, but that's probably not going to happen with the 19-year-old. So I'd probably say his playmaking alongside his scoring.
So I'm going to make a statement about Zach LaVine and Larry Markkanen. I think they're going to be our two All-Stars. Both of them will make the All-Star team next year, represent the team in Chicago. And I also feel that Wendell Carter Jr. will probably play in the future Stars game. And that I made the statement on Twitter, and I was ridiculed for it, but I like your opinion on it. We'll start out with you, Romina. In 3 years, Larry Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and Wendell Carter Jr. will represent the best big three in the NBA. Am I crazy, or do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. They've all been playing really well. Unfortunately, Wendell got injured, but I think it's possible. With how he was doing before he got injured, and then how Lowry and Zach are doing now, I think they'll all be great together.
I think you're leaving out the potential of the draft pick that we had this year.
On purpose.
Might have. Yeah. On purpose? Okay, yeah. Well,
that's part of my argument.
I don't know if it's going to be that core three that'll be the big three, but maybe you'll have a different big three, or maybe even the consensus of a big four. I think Wendell's ceiling is probably similar to like an Otto Porter Jr., where he's a junior star. You know, he might catch an all-star or two in his career, but not ultimately going to be considered the guy on a team.
I think he's got first all-NBA defensive potential, Wendell Carter Jr., so I think he's going to fit seamlessly with the two All-Stars that are going to be here in LaVine and Lowry. I just tried to, my bigger point is here, I think there's too much focus on the player that's, you know, even if we had the worst record in the league, there's an 86% chance we wouldn't have him. You know, I think we should view it going forward as we're not going to get Zion. This team is good enough, and let's focus on what we have here because I think it could be a challenger in Eastern Conference in 3 years, regardless of what happens with this draft pick. Not many people agree with me, but I sense that you two are two people who may. So that's good. I'm glad we're able to get together here. Romina, I'd like to get your opinion on, as an icon of Bulls Twitter, what is your favorite thing about Bulls Twitter and what's your least favorite?
Oh, my most favorite, I want to say most of the time they can be realistic, but then my least favorite is how much they complain, so I don't know how to even, you know, choose from that, but maybe it's from the group chat that we have, and they seem more realistic, but when they really complain about every little thing.
Exactly, I agree. I agree with you 100%. There's far too much complaining and negativity on Bulls Twitter. That's why I think you and Keith are shining lights of positivity. I try to be positive. Maybe I overdo it sometimes, but overall, I think my points are made with facts. Keith, what about you? What's your favorite thing about Bulls Twitter and your least favorite?
I like the fact that fans are extremely passionate, whether that's being upset irrationally or being excited irrationally. I just think that we have an extremely passionate fan base, and I actually kind of get a kick out of people complaining because then I used to make fun of them for complaining, and I kind of enjoy that. So I can't really complain too much about that.
I like Keith's answer are better than mine.
Romina, I want to get a little bit to, there's also a dark side of Twitter. I'm very irritated with some of the nonsense that you have to put up with. How do you handle it so professionally, so well? What's your general philosophy on how to handle the dogs, the evil that's also present on Bulls, not necessarily Bulls Twitter. I don't think they're real Bulls fans who are bothering you, but, you know, just the negativity, the garbage, the dogs of Twitter in general.
I don't know. I don't really take things to heart like that, especially, like, I don't know these people, and they don't know me. They just know me but from my tweets, so I'm not going to take it to heart. But if it's something really bad, then I'll say something, but usually I just don't care. Like, I'll just go along with it. I'll just joke around, too. But I don't really know anybody, so it's not going to affect me in any way.
That's a good point. I don't deal with probably the same level you do, but in general, I think I'm pretty positive, and I'll occasionally get, you know, you're a dope. You know, you get those negative types of things occasionally.
Of course.
Wait, Fred, you don't have all of NBA Twitter hitting on you every day? I've never noticed that.
Hey, I got a lot more. Wow. Hey, I got a lot more than you think, brother. I got a lot more than you think. I don't know if you see. I'm not. You know, hey, I'm a legend.
You just keep it in the DMs. All right, I got exactly. You. I got you, Fred. You're sneaky over there. All right.
We're finding out more things right now, Fred.
I know. Ramina's pulling out all the dirty laundry.
As a quasi-TV star, occasionally, you know, you do get a certain level of fame. Most of the people, the negativity that comes across to me, I first of all, I don't like to block people. I've really tried my best not to block people. When it gets to be personal at some point, then you have to. But most of the time, I do like debating people. First of all, they also have to have a certain level of followers. Like, I don't even debate people. If you're not able to garner enough support to get 30 followers, why waste their time? And I've noticed that with you. Like, a lot of the people that just come out of the mud to throw something out there, it bothers me. But I think you handle it always really well. I always notice they always got like 10 or 12 followers, right? So you know they're not able to have many friends, and probably those 12 are, you know, 8 of them are their other identities. So,
you know, they're looking for attention. So, you know what? I'll give you that attention for a little bit, and then I'll let it go. I don't block people either. Like, if you really want to see what I'm going to say, you're going to see. I'm not going to block you, but I'm not going to keep answering you either.
Well, it bothers me. It does bother me, though, when I see, and I don't even know what goes on, because I don't see it, but, like, I'm a DM you or whatever or something, and it's like, what the heck? Like, what is wrong with people? Why would you even think? So have people, like, DM'd you, and you're just like, give me a break? Has that happened?
Keith, this is for you. But I really
just, I'm kidding.
I don't really answer any of them.
Good.
So yeah. I'll see, but I won't answer it, you know? Some people really do want to just get your opinion on things, and I respect that. I will answer if you're literally just asking for an opinion. That's fine. But some people do go out of their way to ask other things that they shouldn't be asking, but they just get ignored, so.
Good. Keith, what about you? I'm sure you have to deal with a lot of the same nonsense.
Yeah, Keith, what do you
say? I just deal with a lot of people that have made comments on my account before, and then they go and create a burner account and try to say the same things. And that's, I don't know, it's fun for me. I don't really think you can argue with results or facts and stuff like that. So if I'm presenting things like that are pissing you off and making your bias not seem logical, then I think I'm doing my job. So I get a kick out of it. You know, we're all wrong at times. And
right.
I think as long as we can all admit when we're wrong instead of hold a grudge and be bitter about it, then everybody can have a good time.
I don't think everybody's always agree with us. And that's fine. You don't have to agree. But I feel like people try to just pick fights with you. But I think you do a great job, Keith. I think you do a great job.
Yeah, well, Keith is so positive.
No, I have a good time doing it, so I'm... I've been a sarcastic asshole my whole entire life. I was born for Twitter.
Well, I appreciate that, though.
It's so... Like, Bulls Twitter is usually a great place, but occasionally you get those negative fans that aren't really smart enough. That those are the ones that really bother me. Like, I don't like to waste my time in those guys. You know, like, the people just throw out there, they can't draft. Like, the front office can't draft. Occasionally you get those. I get those actually quite a bit. They, you know, they're dumb. They don't know how to draft. And just factually, that's an incorrect statement. You know, Jimmy Butler at 30 is arguably one of the top two picks in the last decade. And if your argument is that the Bulls can't draft, then you don't know what you're talking about. So why would I waste my time even engaging with you? It's the smarter
fans. And they turned that 30th pick into LaVine, Lowry, Wendell Carter Jr., and this year's pick by extension, which is the crazy part.
Exactly, right. So, you know, I think Bulls Twitter is, in general, a great place, is a great place, because it there are fans like you guys that are, you know, really understand the game, and that's how we met, right, Keith? We met on here, Romina, that's how we met. And it's so good to find people that are passionate about the team and really know the team inside and out. But you also do, I think it's so easy to be just an impersonal jerk and just to be, you know, so negative and just, it's a lot easier to do that than if you were arguing with somebody in their face, right? I can't tell you how many people I've met, like, that knew me on Twitter or knew me from Waddle and Sylvie or something, and they're like, oh, you're actually, you know, not a pompous ass or something like that. And I'm just like, of course not. I'm a great guy. I'm a nice guy. And I don't say I'm a great guy, but I try to be nice to people. I think it's so easy to be nice to people, and I think both of you guys would probably be the same way, even meeting people that you disagree with.
I think that's crazy to me, because they're the ones that try to start the argument with you, and then you turn out to be the asshole somehow. Yeah, so I don't get that, but...
Yeah, I mean, Ramina, it's a lot different for you, just because I can tell, you know, people are... There's a lot of Bulls fans out there that are looking... Unfortunately, Bulls Twitter is probably primarily male. I think it's generally rare for, I wouldn't say rare, but you don't find a lot of really super, super diehard Bulls fans that are female, I would say. In my case, it's been less that really know the team. So you're kind of like a shining light, right, for a lot of these guys out there that are, wow, it would be great to meet someone that could also love the team as much as I do. And I think that's probably why, unfortunately, you have to put up then with some of the other nonsense. Whereas, you know, people, you know, Keith, I'm married, obviously, and Keith, I don't know, you got a girlfriend, right? You're a pretty serious girlfriend, right?
No, yeah, my girlfriend's lived with me for 3 years. I'm not on the market. I don't shop. I don't indulge in any of that. I literally just talk Bulls fan. I try to stick to that. Sometimes I get off topic with people like Romina or people that I've created personal bonds with on Twitter, but outside of that, it's strictly sports.
Yeah, so but we don't have to put up with the other nonsense of, you know, people like actually thinking they got a chance of going out with you or something like that, right? You know, that Romina does.
I feel people more so want to argue with me, and they want to see, like, is she really a Bulls fan? Does she really follow it? Like, I feel like that's what they try more with me.
Really?
Trying to test her knowledge. It's like testing if she's actually a sports fan or if she's just a girl who likes attention on Twitter and she does so by acting like she likes sports. So that's the kind of challenges that she gets all the time.
Have guys asked you out on Twitter? I'm just curious.
Yes, they have.
Have you ever
probably said, about 100 a day for
him. Have you ever said...
He sees the messages. I send them to him so he can see them.
Oh, my God. So, what do they say? Would you mind sharing with a few with us? I'm just curious why people would actually think this is a good move.
I don't think I should share what people say.
Oh,
Romina. It's not good.
Fred, it's not as simple as, are you from Tennessee anymore? It's just not.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sometimes.
I wish people, what is wrong with as a culture? Like, can we just, whatever happened to, hey, you seem like a nice person, I'd like to take you courting. Or something like that. You
whatever know, happened to headlining for midget wrestling and almost falling in love with the girl on the stand, man? Like, it used to be so simple.
Exactly. Whatever happened to those days? It bothers me that there's people like that. I mean, I have a daughter who's 14, you know? Like, she's going to be dealing with this nonsense. And it's so sad. It saddens me quite a bit that you would have to put up with this nonsense because you're a smart Bulls fan.
You just have to be strong-minded when it comes to these things because, I don't know, again, like, for that part, I just feel like people really try to break you down. like, oh, it was a woman, she likes sports, but does she really? Like, that's what it always is. And if you're not strong-minded, it's going to hurt you. But,
right.
Again, I don't know anybody, so I'm not offended by anything, you know?
Right. I got you. It's still unfortunate that you have to deal with that. You know, I apologize on behalf of the male gender, I guess.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I guess. Keith, why don't you do the formal apology? You're probably could you do that for us right now?
I don't feel the need to apologize because I get to laugh at the people shooting their shots and then her taking it to a group of a couple, you know, a whole bunch of Bulls fans, and then everybody kind of laughing at it. So, if she's okay with it for now, I don't want to give her sympathy that she doesn't need.
Yeah, well, Romina, let's just say this though. First of all, you handle all that great, and I really appreciate your insights as a Bulls fan. But if you ever see anything that's like, oh my gosh, this is way over bounds, please let us know so we can use our considerable power as Bulls Twitter icons.
Just call Uncle Fred, and he'll.
I've got a lot of Italian relatives.
In the garage.
Exactly.
Okay, I appreciate it all.
But regardless, hey, let's finish this on a different note, a positive note. I want to get your take on Jim Boylan, off of Twitter. Jim Boylan. Do you feel that he's kind of resurrected his career here, or is the possibility that he'll be back? I feel that way. I mean, at some point, you got to say, look at the results we've had in February. I know everybody does their job perfectly from day one, and no doubt that was a disaster. I thought it was a huge mistake how he handled Parker, but my gosh, he seems to be improving quite a bit, and I'm a big fan of what I've seen lately from Jim Boylan. What say you? Let's start out with you, Romina.
When he first came in, I was not having it. But now, I think I'm okay with him now. I think as long as he doesn't do any more of these post-game interviews, I'm fine with it. For now, I don't know. I'm more on the positive end for him. So maybe I can see him staying. I don't know. This is hard.
Keith.
I kind of land more on the side where I think it needs to be fluid going into the offseason. The Celtics could be on outs with Brad Stevens. It's very unlikely, but maybe if that's what it takes to keep Kyrie, maybe they dump Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is somebody available. Would you take Brad Stevens over Boylan? I would. So
yes.
I think you have to keep it fluid. I think Jim's only partially guaranteed contract, $1 million out of the 1.6 that he is under contract for next year, is guaranteed. So because of that contract situation, I think you keep it fluid. But obviously, Jim finishing the season on a strong note like they have and getting the respect of the players, if you get a sense in the end of the season meetings from the players that they respect Jim and they want Jim around, then I don't see any reason to make
a move.
I agree. Brad Stevens is available, that's absolutely a guy I would take ahead of him. You know, I'd be shocked if Brad Stevens is available. I guess it's possible. Okay. I mean, they keep on losing. Who knows? If they're out in the first round, it's possible he might get the axe, but my gosh, that would be huge news. Can you imagine if we end up winning the lottery?
But he's got to be the scapegoat, man.
Yeah.
But
just imagine going in next year, we win the lottery, we get Zion, and we hire Brad Stevens. Holy cow. Can you imagine that?
We don't want bandwagon fans when that happens.
Oh, it's going to be insane. Romina, last question before we thank you. First of all, thank you so much. Again, you're a Twitter icon. And you are beloved in Bulls Twitter land. So to have you on the Bullseye it's an honor, and you've done very well. Next year, do you feel the team next year, regardless, let's say we don't get Zion, and let's say whoever we draft is not going to contribute. Let's just throw that out. Let's just pretend that's an option. Do you feel the team with the return of Valentine, Hutchinson had in his second year, the progress that Levine's made, Lauri Markkanen's made, and assuming we get it, let's say, a free agent guard, point guard, do you feel that team could make the playoffs next year? And if so, is it possible they could be in the top four?
I think we can make the playoffs. I don't think we'd be top four, though. I was thinking like this, sixth, maybe.
Or seventh, following my mantra.
I don't know, maybe. Oh, yeah, are you talking about a top four pick or where we would land in the playoffs if we make it? I'm sorry.
No, in the playoffs next year. So let's say we go back with the same team, and whoever we draft doesn't really contribute, assuming it's not Zion.
Right, okay.
Do you feel the
I think it would be like 6 or 6 seed, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Keith, do you concur?
Yeah, from 6 through 8 in the East playoffs right now, they are below 500 playoff teams, the Nets being the best team out of those three teams. So I don't think it's unrealistic at all that the Bulls make the playoffs. They could have been in a similar situation to the Magic, who are in the 8th seed right now if they didn't have all the injuries this year.
Amen. And that will wrap up another exciting edition of Chicago Bulls. Ramina, the icon of Bulls Twitter, joining us today. Thank you so much. And the great Keith Franz.
Thank you.
Hey, where can everybody find you, Ramina? And anything you want to pub, anything at all, personal, any career things, any work that you're doing? Feel free to tell us about it.
I don't have anything right now, but when I do, I will let you know.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And please, you got to come on again, especially as we get closer to draft.
Yeah, this was really fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. And you're in your car, too, which makes it even more amazing. Are you on the expressways, or is this a local street drive?
It was just a local street drive. I made it.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Keith, it's always a pleasure to have you on, brother. Anything else that you want to pub before we move on?
No. You find me at Bulls Scripted. Find me here. I haven't done a Believers podcast solo in about a month. Probably should do that. But if I do, look for that. Outside of that, no.
All right. You two are the best. Thank you so much. And if it ain't Bulls, it ain't basketball. Thanks. Check out my article on NBC, the top 5 underrated Bulls. It's been a big hit. It'll be much bigger hit than the top 5 overrated Bulls. Oh, that was the last question I wanted to ask. I forgot to ask. Ramina, your most underrated Bull of all time.
You're going to hate my answer, but I'm going to say Kirk Heinrich.
You're right. I am going to hate it, but go on.
But I'm still going to say it. I think, I don't know. He was great. I enjoyed his game, so I think he was really underrated. He was a good defender. He might be inconsistent, but still. Okay. So that's my answer.
All right, Ramina. It really hurts me that you said that, but that's fine. I mean, I don't think he was anywhere near underrated, though. I mean, he was beloved by the fan base. And what did he accomplish? You know, he's second team.
We want to make you a believer in Kirk Heinrich.
It's going to take a long PowerPoint with many, many advanced statistics to tell me that he was underrated. But I could be, Keith, do you concur? Do you agree? Do you feel he was underrated?
I feel Kirk was overrated, maybe.
Wow.
On a good day,
no.
Properly rated.
Ramina, please don't get angry.
I just got to be honest.
It's okay. Keith, who do you think is underrated then?
Yeah.
I think Luol Deng never really got as much praise as he should have. That would probably be my underrated. Maybe Ben Gordon. Obviously, he was kind of like a flash in the pan, but BG7 was pretty good. Nate Robinson will always be near and dear to my heart, so I'll say he's underrated just so I can bring him up.
Well, everybody check it out. I'd love to get on Twitter at CBE Fred. I'd love to hear who you think is the most underrated. It was one of the best articles that I ever wrote, so please check it out. 5 most underrated Bulls, and Ben Gordon was an excellent choice, Keith. Ramina, I disagree with your choice of Kirk, but you made a good case for him. We'll have to debate this on another show, and please don't read the upcoming article I have of the 5 most overrated Bulls when it comes out. I don't think you're going to like it. I'm sorry.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to argue with you.
We must have you on for that one. Thanks so much, Ramina. You're the best. Hey, Keith, great talking to you, brother. Have a good night, both of you.
Yep, you both have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Bye, good night.